We continue with our daily segment, and the segment is titled Hajj, the Global Build-Up. Hafiz Ibrahim Musa joining me on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There's a new term that is being used in recent days, a green Hajj. What does that refer to?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with any clothes that the Hajjaj will be wearing. That's for sure. The Hajjaj all will be cladded out in white, the males, and obviously the females will be dressed accordingly. But it's got to do with the sort of ethos or the sort of way Hajjaj conduct themselves. And I don't think this is a concept that has to be imposed from outside. If one simply follows Islamic teachings, the Hajj will be a green Hajj, and Islamic teachings are the most green friendly, so nobody has to change anything about the Hajj. But it is very important to highlight the environmental aspect of the Hajj, given that when one is on the Hajj, one is exhorted to obviously rectify one's relationship with Allah as well as with the creation, and be most magnanimous to fellow creatures, fellow Muslims, and part of that is caring for the environment so that this entire world or the spaces that we share are clean, are beautiful, are healthy. And therefore, those who are talking about a green Hajj, speaking about matters such as litter, that's a very important issue on Hajj, keeping the spaces that we share very clean. There's also the issue of water usage, lots of us being afforded the use of facilities in the Haramain free of charge. But we should make sure that there is, the resources they are used sparingly. There's also issues such as food wastage, and this is a very critical matter in the days of Hajj. From those who are distributing food, those who are selling food, down to the consumers. And a very basic principle is not purchasing or not extending oneself to taking more than one knows one is going to use or one is be able to consume. And if that can be reduced, then obviously one is coming closer to green Islamic principles. And then the last thing is obviously pollution. A lot of it is out of the pilgrim's hands. One has to go on the sort of transportation means that have been allotted for them, but perhaps this is where the authorities come in. Projects perhaps such as the train that reduce the amount of vehicles on the road could be beneficial for reducing pollution, air pollution in the long run.
Every country wants more of their people to go for Hajj. They want an increased quota. South Africans obviously also want that. Indonesia and Singapore appealing for that. Do they have a strong case?
I think their case is not different from any other country or in this world, and perhaps it would be treated by the Saudi authorities pretty much the same like all the others. When it comes to Singapore, it's very, very almost sometimes brings us a smirk to the face, but one has to look at their numbers. They are sending 680-odd. Just 680 pilgrims for Hajj this year. And they're talking about, petitioning the Saudis to increase the quota. But when they talk about this, they actually say we are hopeful that we will get an increase of 120 Hajjaj. So, we usually, when we talk about increases, we're talking in the thousands. But they're just looking for a couple of hundred or even just over 100 Hajjaj to go. And what was the current system that they have in Singapore? Hajjaj can only go for Hajj after 15 years, or people only get to go for Hajj after being on a waiting list for 15 years. So, like the rest of the world, they're quite hopeful. They say that Singaporean Hajjaj have been quite well behaved, they are hoping on the basis of that, as well as population figures that have increased, that the quota will increase. As far as Indonesia goes, undoubtedly they bring together the greatest number of Hajjaj from in the world, but they are arguing on a different point. And this also goes back to a story that we discussed previously, which is the Hajj scandal in the Philippines, where Indonesian Hajjaj were caught trying to use Filipino Hajj passports. And the Indonesians are saying there are so many, from official quotas around the world, there are so many people who don't make those quotas or don't go for Hajj. And they're saying because there's such a desperation in countries such as theirs, they are advocating for a system to be set up where unused Hajj spots in different parts of the world actually be put back on the market in countries where they are needed the most. It sounds like a great idea, and many people around the world would cheer that idea on. I guess the difficulty about that is really how will it actually be administered and also be protected from any sort of corruption.
Then in terms of the area of the world that has been affected by the current conflict that continues, the Syrians, Syrian Hujjaj this year, what do we know in that regard?
There would be two types of Syrian Hajj, if you want to put it that way. There would be those who would go through the official channels, and this would be in areas that are still controlled by the Assad regime. Now, I don't know, we've seen, for instance, the stance of Iran on this year's Hajj, the stance of the ally Hezbollah. I don't know if that has translated into something similar from the regime side. We haven't heard anything of that sort just yet, but it could be a possibility. But we're not talking about those who go through the official regime, channels, but what we have is figures of 11,000 Hujjaj coming through from those who are living as refugees or those who are living inside Syria but under the control of the various militias and armed groupings in that area. So they have set up their own special Hajj committee, which is recognized by the Saudi authorities. Whether the Syrians are in Turkey, whether they're in Jordan, whether they're in Lebanon, they have to apply through this special Hajj committee, and thereafter the rest of the procedure is followed out. They get accreditation and thereafter proceed to the Holy Land. So 11,000 from all these outlying areas, either under rebel control or either they might be refugees in foreign countries, they have already made their way to Saudi Arabia.
Any updates on some of the stories we covered yesterday?
Yes, there's two. When we spoke about Ismail Haniyeh going for Hajj yesterday, it was a matter of conjecture. Now it's official, he has departed for Hajj from the Rafah border crossing. As far as the other part of that story, his assumption of the Hamas leadership and his relocation to Qatar, that one would have to see as time goes on. He is going to visit Qatar as part of this trip, but whether it will entail immediate relocation, possibly not. We'll have to watch that space. And the other one, the Yemeni Hujjaj who was stranded on the border, the Saudi authorities have apparently managed to clear much of that backlog, and the total number of Yemeni Hujjaj would be processed completely very soon. We understand that yesterday and Sunday, in that one day, about 17,000 of those Hujjaj were actually processed at a very rapid speed to try and clear the disaster that was building up on the border. So that's the update from Yemen.
Jazakumullah khair for covering those stories. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to chatting to you again tomorrow afternoon, inshallah.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.